Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to display their talent. They are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Alan Cochrane, and seated on my left, Jason Byrne and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. Seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help you with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the BBC tent at Potter Row at Edinburgh during the Festival Fringe. And we have a lovely, warm Festival Fringe audience in front of us who are dying for us to get started. So let's begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject here, a very topical one, Scottish air. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, I've never done Just a Minute before under such a beautiful twilight sky. And it reminds me that here the air in Scotland is fresher than you'll ever find in London. If you march across the moors, the highlands and lowlands, and you feel your lungs filling with Scottish air, you realise that it's powerful for the system. It blows the cobwebs away. Previous thoughts of bad things. Bad thoughts. I say thoughts again.
Yeah. Giles, your challenge.
A hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Giles. And you have got the subject now, Scottish air. You get a point for a correct challenge. And there are 35 seconds still available. Scottish air with you, Giles, starting now.
I have breathed the sweetness of Scottish air when on holiday with the heir to the throne. Prince Charles invited me on a camping expedition in the grounds of Balmoral. William erected the tent with his thin, girlish arms, but Harry punched in the stakes. I don't know where he gets it from. And the air was sweet and lovely. I breathed deeply and thought to myself, that's Camilla on her woodbines. Why was she smoking? It was because of the midges which surround the grounds, nipping and tucking, avoiding...
Right. In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth. And at the end of that first round, he is the only one who's got any points at all. Jason Byrne, welcome to the show. First time.
I was a bit confused there. Was that deviation? No. You were talking... Was it Scottish air, as in the stuff you breathed? No, and then you went off and went camping.
But with the heir to the Scottish as well as the English and Irish and Welsh throne, you see.
Ah, air!
And we were breathing Scottish air.
I know, Jason, this is your first time on the show. So let me say, it's not the way it's written. It's the way it sounds to the ear. Because it's radio...
To the air?
Right, Jason, let's begin. The subject for you is David and Goliath. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The Philistines gathered together to start a war against the Israelis. For 40 days, a very large man called Goliath taunted the... Israelis.
Alan, you've challenged.
I really didn't want to, but I thought... I thought he might be glad of it, to be absolutely honest.
Are you doing me for hesitation? Yeah. Because that's kind of racist, because that's my accent. No.
I think I detected a slight hesitation. I'm happy for you to give him the benefit of the doubt, Nicholas.
And there was also a deviation, because they weren't the Israelis, they were the Israelites.
I mean, that was near enough.
We loved it. We've got you here for the fun.
Yes. I do feel like I've been thrown into the lions.
Alan, correct challenge. And you have the subject of David and Goliath. 21 seconds available, starting now.
David and Goliath are one of the finest comedy double acts to perform at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. I appreciate the Scottish air whilst walking to their venue. I only ever breathed Scottish air until I was 7 years old. I think I may have been caught trying to pander.
Paul, challenge, yes?
What repetition of Scottish air.
Yes, right. Yes. So, Paul, you have another point, and you have the subject, and you have... 8 seconds to go. David and Goliath starting now.
It was an unholy challenge. David looked up at Goliath. He towered over his opponent, but he looked down and said...
Giles' challenge.
Looked up and then looked down.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. And Giles, you got in with 1 second to go. It's a correct challenge, but you haven't endeared yourself to anyone in the audience. 1 second on David and Goliath, starting now.
4 cubits in a hand.
So at the end of that round, Giles Brandreth was speaking as a whistle when gained an extra point. He's increased his lead at the end of the round. And Alan Cochran, we'd like you to begin the next round. My mysterious uncle. Will you tell us something about that?
Very good.
It's laughing already, aren't you, Jason?
Yes, right? I am.
Well, try and get the subject and show it. Right on. 60 seconds as usual. Alan, starting now.
My mysterious uncle was so shrouded in mystery, it wasn't until 5 years after his death we realised he was a she. My mysterious uncle stood at 6'7" with a ginger moustache atop his lip and was a wonderful man, quite strange, spoke in an accent that nobody else could understand. Hello, children, how are you doing? We would say, where are you from, mysterious uncle? And what is it that you do for a living? He wore a long trench coat and came back with it full of money each night and underneath it, no discernible clothing. I don't know what my mysterious uncle did, but everything that he did had mystique. And my mysterious uncle drove a big...
Jason, you pressed your buzzer.
I did press it, yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't hear anybody else buzzing in. I thought we were being nice. Is he allowed to say mysterious uncle 700 times?
You can repeat the subject on the card as often as you like.
Oh,
within reason.
Yes, I knew that!
You didn't know it. But he did repeat, didn't he?
He did, yes. Thank you, uncle. I mean, Nicholas...
Jason, I'm flattered to be your mysterious uncle.
Yes.
He did repeat did, and...
Yes, he did. Repetition on did.
And now we're going to hear my mysterious uncle from you, Jason. 20 seconds to go, starting now.
Oh, and what a mysterious uncle my mysterious uncle is. Such a mysterious chap that he is. Often he would arrive into the house in his striped jacket. We'd wonder, why are you wearing that striped jacket? Oh! I seen it coming. It was there. I said, don't say striped jacket again. Why is it in your face? Put it to the side. Say other clothing.
Paul.
Repetition of striped jacket.
Yes, sorry. That's right. Right. And Paul, you have 10 seconds to tell us something about mysterious uncle starting now.
Every Halloween, we would hear a mysterious noise emanating from the cellar. One by individual, we would go down the steps and see what was happening there.
Martin was in speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now just 1 point behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. The other two have got 1 point apiece. And we're moving back to you, Giles, to begin. I think for Edinburgh, this could be a topical subject. Tramways. That struck a chord with the audience here. And maybe you'll explain why, Giles, as you start on the subject. 60 seconds going now.
I think you must be psychic, Nicholas, because of all the subjects in the world that I would most like to have today, tramways is the one.
Right.
Teddy bears is something that people think I'm interested in, but no, tramways in general and Edinburgh tramways in particular are my specialist subject when it comes to taking part in Mastermind. Back in 1871, the first trams were introduced into the great capital city of Scotland. Then they were four-wheelers, they were horse-drawn, and it wasn't until a few years later that they began to have tramways that involved actually stirrup pumps and then electricity in the following century, in the first year of the new age. And curiously, it was a man named Alan MacDonald who devised this original tramway. In 1922, the company was sold to a new family, the Ordeens. And the these people...
Well, that applause was for what you said, Giles. Congratulations. But, Paul, you challenged.
Well, it was a hesitation as he realised he was about to repeat the name of the family.
Yeah. That's right, yes,
it
indeed.
Was. It
so
was.
The name
but
came
it was
up
brilliant.
And he couldn't think of another name for the family.
Yeah.
And
that's their name.
Well said, Paul. You have got in with 7 seconds to go.
Oh, no!
I fear you. I feel your disappointment.
No, it's just the game, and you were listening well, and you got him in on the correct challenge. Tramways with you, Paul, starting now.
The people who run this magnificent city looked at tramways all over the world and said to themselves, this is good enough for Edinburgh, but sadly, they've done it all so wrong, it's all gone.
So Paul Martin was again speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point. And he's now gone one ahead of Giles and the other two are trailing a little with 1 point apiece. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is my time as a butler. I don't know whether you've butled or not. But if you haven't, talk on the subject, starting now.
I wrote a sketch for a TV series I did many years ago, which featured me playing the part of a butler. For reasons I can't remember now, the particular piece of whimsy never made it onto the cathode ray...
Charles, challenge.
Hesitation. Mm.
Yes, he was trying to get Café Rouge out and stumbled. So,
I was trying to get cathode ray out, actually.
Cathode ray, right. Giles, 49 seconds still available. My time as a butler, starting now.
The royal family offer you friendliness, not friendship, as I pointed out to the Middletons at the time of the wedding of William and Kate. But it was as a servant of these illustrious people that I became a butler for the first time, working at the table of the late but gracious Princess Margaret. She used me as an ashtray. It was a little bit humbling, as I
thought. Full challenge.
You were serving Princess Margaret and she was already dead?
Well, this is some years ago. I'm a reminiscence of...
Oh, you said you were serving the late Princess Margaret. I mean, do they ever let go of their royal heritage, or...?
It was always touch and go with Princess Margaret.
Yeah.
I was just putting that in case I caught her on the cusp.
What an unfortunate image.
That's a lovely challenge, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Serving her.
Nobody's biscuits
for
it, but the seven. You can't serve somebody who's dead. Well, you can't really, can you? Yeah, you can't.
That is the logical interpretation.
Isn't it just?
Of what you're saying, and that is your challenge.
Unless the late Princess Margaret was just a lack of punctuality. She was 5 minutes after an appointment.
Charles, you should have said that, but it's too late now.
Oh, it's too late.
I think your challenge came in first, and that's the correct one.
Right.
And you have 26 seconds, Paul, on my time as a butler, starting now.
I had to serve some custard creams to Edward VII. The year was 1956, and he was a right old slave.
Charles.
So much deviation that it's barely credible.
You don't believe he served...
Edward VII died in 1910.
That's why I said it. Following on your Princess Margaret joke.
Yeah. I always like to be fair in this show. I gave the benefit of the doubt to you, Paul, because of the late Princess Margaret. I now give it to Giles, because Edward VII died in 1910, wasn't
it?
Right. Giles, you got the subject back. And 22 seconds starting now.
You Rang, My Lord, was one of my favourite television series and featured a wonderful actor named Paul Shane in the role of the butler. I aspired to that particular part and attempted to murder the actor in question in the hope of taking over from him. Unfortunately, I was caught by the police, who felt this was an inappropriate way to fulfil my career hopes, and therefore I ended up in croaky...
Giles Brandreth was then speaking as the whistle went, and he's now moved forward, one ahead of Paul Merton, and Jason and Alan are now equal in third place with 1 point apiece. And, but it's the contribution, not the points. And Jason, we're back with you.
Yes.
And the subject for you now is family holidays. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Family holidays, a contradiction in terms, is not really a family holiday. It's more you gathering your children together with your wife and spending a lot of money and babysitting them in a different country.
Jason, you challenge yourself.
I'll go again.
Don't keep doing it, otherwise I will penalise you.
Right.
But that was a correct challenge, well listened. And there are 40 seconds still available. Family holidays starting now.
Arriving at the pool is normally a very stressful time on family holidays because you can't relax there. It's watching the kids, waiting for them to fall into the pool, but then you put armbands on them.
Giles challenge.
Repetition of pool?
Pool, kids, all kinds of things, yes.
Well, we normally go twice.
Giles, a correct challenge. So you have family holidays and 31 seconds starting now.
Family holidays are indeed traumatic, but royal family holidays are truly a nightmare. There I was in the field.
Alan, you challenge.
Deviation. How do you know that the royal family are all on holiday? They are always on holiday, aren't they? That's what they do.
But when you're the butler and you're actually... in the field, stepping through the cowpats with them, you realise this
is... With the late Princess Margaret.
Is that your job, to step through cowpats?
OK.
Giles, incorrect challenge. 23 seconds. Family holidays starting now.
In the middle of the night, you leave your tent to relieve yourself, and there is the Duke of Edinburgh with a blunderbuss trying to blow you out of the undergrowth. It's most uncomfortable, because, of course, he is there guarding the edge, the perimeter, because he is the founder of the National Playing Fields Association and a jolly good egg and fields at holidays that are active.
Four challenge.
Well, amidst this homage to Prince Philip, who, of course, we all love dearly, it sort of strayed off the point of family holidays.
Well, oh. I think he was trying to talk about the royal family.
We met Prince Philip blasting us, blowing somebody off in the wood.
Is the royal family not
in the undergrowth? Didn't we?
Is the royal family not our nation's number one family?
Yes, Giles, I agree. Deviation, Paul. You have the subject of family holidays, and you have 4 seconds to go. Starting now.
The very first family holiday I can recall was an absolutely superb event.
So, Paul Merton was then speaking to Whistle Went. And gained that extra point. He's one behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. The other two are training just a little. But Alan, it's back with you to begin. Scrooge, that's the subject, Alan. We'd like you to begin. And 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Scrooge is a name I am often called. I was born in Scotland and raised in Yorkshire, and I am a thrifty individual, and I make no apologies for that. There's nothing wrong with being a little bit of a Scrooge. Unlike Scrooge, who is a character in the popular Dickens movies and books, he is a stingy man, but he hates the poor, whereas I love the poor. If it weren't for the poor, who would... Oh!
Jason, you're listening well. You're
yes, finally. That's repetition on poor, yeah?
A poor, yes, well...
Oh, yes, I got something right!
Yes. You've got 33 seconds available, and the subject is Scrooge, and you start now.
Yes, my father is a definite Scrooge, a very mean man indeed. I would never part with his money ever. My mother would say, please, I need to go to the shop. No, you can't. The money is sewn into my pants up in the... Oh.
Alan, challenge.
I said money. Repetition of money.
Money,
sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
You don't have to apologise.
No, I do. It's just ridiculous.
Correct challenge, Alan. You've got another point. Scrooge is back with you, starting now.
Scrooge disliked the financially challenged, whereas I love them, for without them, who would wash my car? I certainly wouldn't. £10 and they give it a really good scrub just around the corner from my home. I am sometimes a little mean. My wife thinks that it's not right that we have an electricity monitor and I walk around the house turning all the gadgets off standby. But that's a good thing. Oh.
So Alan Cochran was then speaking as the whistle went, and gained that extra point for doing so. And Giles, we're back with you to begin. The subject now is the chairman of the board. Tell us something about that pompous subject in this game, starting now.
When I first met the Queen, she told me that she was indeed the chairman of the board, but she preferred to be called a chair. I said to her, Your Majesty, you are not an inanimate object, a piece of furniture. You are not inviting me to sit upon your lap, are you? And she said, I am nonetheless not to be called the chairman of the board. I wish to be known by the letter C-H-A-I-R, spoken clearly in the Queen's English, for that is our national mother tongue.
Alan Charles.
It's not my national mother tongue. I'm Scottish.
Yeah. You speak the Queen's English with a Scottish accent.
I don't. I speak it with an English accent.
Well, you do, actually, yeah. So I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one, because you... is it Yorkshire or Lancashire you are from?
Yorkshire, right.
Benefit of the doubt to you on that one, Alan, the chairman of the board, starting now.
When I met the Queen, she never mentioned the chairman of the board. I mainly discuss the chairman of the board as in people who are extremely profoundly bored. That's the chairman of the board. I've never been chairman of the board. I don't really hold down jobs well.
Paul Challenge.
You're getting there.
What I sometimes do in this game, when someone comes in with a brilliant interjection like that, I give them a bonus point. And Paul, that certainly deserved a bonus point. Right. But have you got a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, I don't.
Right. So Alan was interrupted.
He
gets a point for that. He's got 11 seconds still. Chairman of the board starting now.
Someone who works in a wooden hardware shop and is the boss is probably the chairman of the board. And he probably does... Oh.
Paul, yes.
Oh, two probabilities, sadly.
There were two probabilities there, yes. Yeah, so this time probable. You've got in again with 4 seconds to go. But a correct challenge, another point. Chairman of the board, Paul, starting now.
Frank Sinatra used to refer to himself as the chairman of the board, along with Sammy Davis Jr. and all the other members of the...
So, Paul Merton speaks a whistle when the game, the extra point is now moved 2 points ahead of Charles Brandreth. The other two are training a little. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is owning a tandem. I don't know whether you've ever owned one or not, but talk on the subject. 60 seconds starting now.
I've never owned a tandem.
Jason, you buzz first.
No, it wasn't me.
He was trying to help you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I ought to explain to Nicholas.
I'm very sorry.
Nicholas is now actually holding Jason's buzzer.
I'm too nice for this game.
Jason, yes. Giles actually did challenge first. Are you going to give it to him, Jason?
What? Yes, go ahead, Giles. No, I'll take it.
Look, if we're on a tandem, we could do it together.
Well, I mean, it probably wouldn't work because you'd only bring the Queen along.
Giles,
it might be Princess Margaret, you never know.
It was a correct challenge, Charles, so we give you a point because you did the challenge. But we're going to give the subject to Jason. Okay. 57 seconds to go, Jason. Owning a tandem, starting now.
Yeah, tandem was something that I owned. I bought it off the Goodies. They were big fans of tandems, and I said, how much is that tandem? They said, it's 50 quid to you. Really?
Paul Charles.
Well, the Goodies didn't have a tandem, did they? It was a three-seater bicycle, so...
Yeah, the three-seater. Oh, yeah! I don't think it has a name, the three. It's a bicycle made for three, that's all.
Wait a minute, it doesn't have a name?
No, I just...
Well, tandem would have done.
No. I'll give him a bonus point because we love his interjections, right?
Thank you.
But Paul had a correct challenge and he has 48 seconds on owning a tandem starting now.
I've never owned a tandem.
It's getting delightfully hysterical. A bonus point to Paul, because we love what he said. Giles, you challenged.
I did.
48 seconds, owning a tandem, Giles, starting now.
I, as part of National Cutlery Week, was sent to a greasy spoon in Accrington in Lancashire, where I was amazed to find, waiting outside the restaurant, my childhood tandem, which was actually a tricycle made for two. I climbed aboard this and went to Harcourt Road, where my old auntie was nursing a telegram from Her Majesty the Queen. It was a glorious moment, and we paraded around that wonderful northern city, waving aloft this beautiful, triumphant royal effigy on this tandem. My auntie and I...
Repetition of auntie.
You sure it wasn't aunt last time?
No.
No, the audience were listening as well.
You're not sure, but you know if he says it confidently enough, you think it is.
There speaks a politician.
But when...
Paul, a correct challenge, 13 seconds, owning a tandem, starting now.
I've never owned a tandem.
Alan, new times.
I don't think Paul has ever owned a tandem.
I've never owned a tandem.
I think it may be repetition.
Absolutely. It is repetition. Because even though he was speaking before, when he goes back to the subject, he can't repeat what he said before. So, Alan, you've got the subject of owning a tandem, 11 seconds, starting now.
Owning a tandem was perhaps the loneliest moment in my friend's childhood because he was an only child. He used to cycle it to school and lock it up at the gates with a tear running down his face whilst I laughed.
Alan Cochrane was speaking then as whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still in third place, but he's not. And I just heard we're going into the final round. Oh, you're so lovely. Let me give you the situation as we move into the final round. Jason Byrne, who's never played the game before, though it wasn't very obvious, and but we loved it.
I'm good at football.
And Jason is in fourth place. He's a little bit behind Alan Cochran, who's in second place. He's a few points behind Giles Brandreth, who is 3 points behind Paul Merton, who's now in the lead. But Jason, we're back with you to begin. And this is a lovely subject. It's something which I love very much. Prunes. So can you talk on prunes in this game, starting now?
Prunes, a dried plum, can be used in various ways. It can be used as a stew, as a main dinner, or a dessert. Also, prunes can be used for old people. Oh, no!
Giles with chance.
We had used a few times, and we held old people a few times.
Charles, a correct challenge. You have 45 seconds available. Tell us something about prunes in this game, starting now.
Because for Christmas...
Alan Charles.
Oh, the Queen loves them. It's bound to be, isn't it? I just started saving the bother.
Yeah. All right, for that round of applause, Alan, we're going to give you a bonus point, because they enjoyed what you said. But, Giles, you were interrupted. 43 seconds on prunes starting now.
I'm planning to give my wife a bronzed effigy of my torso, and consequently I am on a diet at the moment that involves no bread, rice, pasta or potatoes, but entirely prunes. I suck them dry and then spit out the stone when, rather sweetly, Princess Anne comes along holding the spittoon in front of me. Oh, she's a game girl. She's actually, in science, you think more of man than woman, but there's something about her that is nautical and ferocious and exciting. Not as thrilling as Zara, who also loves prune juice and tells me that on the rugby field she sometimes plays with her husband. Oh, yes. Their strength up.
Paul, you challenged.
Well, there was a hesitation there.
Yeah. That.
As the authorities come to take it away.
Right, Paul, you've got him in 3 seconds to go. No. Prunes is with you, Paul. 3 seconds, starting now.
I believe it was William Wordsworth who first penned the lines to the prune.
Oh! Thank you for that. I said a few moments ago, this was to be the last round. And the final situation is that Jason Byrne, not having played the game, coming in for the first time, but what value he gave. And Alan Cochran has only played the game a few times. He gave great value too. Not right above that, Alan. Charles Brandel's in second place. He always gives good value, but he gave him an individual round of applause. And the man with most points this week, so we call him the winner. And a big round of applause for Paul Merton. So, in any way, thank you, these four delightful players of this game. And we're grateful to Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and blown the whistle so well. And grateful to our producer, to Lucia Gilani. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here at the Festival Fringe of Cheered Us On Our Way, Magnificent, from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team. Goodbye, thank you. And remember, listeners, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yay!